got a very, very exciting guest. This is something that I think everyone has a problem with. It's just a normal thing for a lot of people. Esther Stanhope has written a fantastic book. It's called Goodbye Glossophobia. It reveals a very quirky way, but effective secrets to help anyone who has a public, well, a fear of public speaking. You know, we all sort of sit there, even if you go into an interview or you anything to do with, you know, a lot of people or even an interview where you feel on edge, this book will take you through it. It will lower your stress levels. Now, Esther Stanhope has clocked up to 12,500 hours of live BBC broadcasting, hats off to you, and nearly 5,000 celebrity interviews, including George Clooney and Madonna. Since 2011, she's helped over 8,000 professionals and businesses to speak with confidence. Now, Esther, you are with me and live on Talk Radio Europe. Hello.
Hello, Jill. And you know, Jill, you are one of my highlight celebrities that I've worked with.
Oh, I love you, Esther. I love to be called that. I love it. Bring it on. Yeah. Say some more.
You are my highlight. And the thing is, you have such a great voice and a great personality that bursts out of the radio. So, and I don't think you're actually, maybe you've never been scared of public speaking yourself, have you?
Well, no, but when I was young, Esther, we do go back. I have met you many years ago, and you actually were, if we think back, you started me out in the radio journey that I'm on. And Actually, I remember sitting with you in London outside the BBC saying, I just want to be a radio presenter and da-da-da. And you were my beginning of my journey. And I thank you for giving me the confidence back then before you'd even written the book. So,
well, that's a really good tip. Yeah, that's a really good tip, Jill. In fact, you know, you can inspire anyone who thinks, I really wish I could do something. Because actually, if you want to be good at something, and whether it's public speaking or being an artist or being a singer, if you really want to do something, you can do it, and you can be really, really good at it. And the thing about public speaking is that 75% of the population think, oh, I hate it, I would never want to do that. But if it's really good for your job or your career, because public speaking is actually, it's not just a hobby, is it? It's actually that people speak for a reason. Mm. Particularly, I work with a lot of businesses. The good news is that if you want to do it and if you want to be good at it, you can. And it doesn't matter who you are, where you're from, what your accent is, what your language is, what you look like, you can be really, really good at it.
But do you know what someone said to me years ago when I was at drama school, when I was obviously getting up on the stage, and they always said, just try and, one, either picture the whole audience naked or just pick one or two eyes in the row, and just because they're going to have a friendly face. Don't try and look at everyone. You know, when you are, it's the eye contact is important, because obviously that shows your strength and that you're confident. But if you've got a clear message to deliver, you're going to know your stuff much more than they do sitting there.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, one of my chapters is don't imagine the audience naked.
I love that one.
Only because it could be very distracting, Jill.
I think it just makes them real. I mean, I like people who are real.
Look, do you know what? Whatever it takes, and as a senior producer at the BBC, and that was my former life before I started working in business, helping people speak, as a senior producer at the BBC, I used to say to the team, whatever it takes to get this show on the road, whatever it takes to make you feel better, do it, if it has the desired effect. So actually, any tip or myth, it might be a placebo, like the power pose. Like if you do the power pose, there's a whole TED talk about if you stand like Wonder Woman with your hands on your hips or like Superman, and you put your shoulders back and you plant your feet to the floor and you go, huh, and you stand for 2 minutes like a superhero, your body will be more confident and your brain will go, ooh, I'm confident, right? And there's a TED talk about that. But some people have said, you know, it's just a placebo. If it makes you feel confident to stand in a power pose before you go on, do it. If, you know, doing the Hakka before you go on stage makes you feel more ready for it, do it. You know, whatever it takes. And I've spoken to many experts about what physically happens to your body when you're fearful of public speaking. But the reason I wrote the book, Jill, is because when I work in business, and I work with senior leaders all over the world now, from banks to big accountancy firms and city firms, and I work with a lot of senior women and men, but particularly women, a lot of people hold themselves back because they don't like the spotlight on them. They like getting on with their job.
Do you know what? Do you want to hear something really funny? I actually, because I play tennis a lot, and there's a guy that I work with, hope he's not listening. He is the most amazing, amazing businessman. So I play tennis, and I go abroad to play, and I do these training, you know, go on these training holidays. And I went on about three or four of them, and he said to me, Jill, I hate getting up and talking, but... He hired me to do the opening speech to all of these 30 tennis players, and he couldn't do it. He was paralyzed with fear, but yet the most professional, amazing businessman you've ever met, but he couldn't public speak at all.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, so my advice there, so the big tip, if you are in that category of I really hate standing in front of a big audience, my advice is, well, stand in front of a small audience first. Get into the hang of standing up and delivering a message a couple of minutes long to a small group first. And really, the only way you're going to get over any kind of fear is by facing it and doing it and doing it again and doing it again and doing it again. So, for example, I was talking to a really senior woman last night, and she runs a massive team in Belgium. And every quarter, so that means every 3 months, she has to do this massive, what they call a town hall, you know, for the whole organization. Because it's a global organization, they video it. So it's like all singing, all dancing, all bells, all whistles. She's standing at a podium. She's got to speak with a camera, with 1,000 people in front of her. Every 3 months, she has sleepless nights, feels sick, hates it so much.
That's the worst. That's the worst, is the feeling sick. You feel very sick.
Yeah,
don't you? When you're very nervous, what is that?
Yeah. Oh my goodness. I mean, I remember when, you know, but basically doing something on a large scale suddenly from zero to large scale is a nightmare. But she's doing this four times a year, so four times a year it's like she's having to relive this nightmare. I said my advice to her was do more speaking engagements to smaller audiences more often. Little and often is the way to go. And if you don't like it, you've got to just get out of that comfort zone. Find a speaking opportunity. It could be something, a wedding or something, a friend's drink, a goodbye speech, a welcoming speech. It could be a little seminar. It could be sharing your project. But find, it could be something at the school, you know, it could be something, a club that you belong to. But find an opportunity to stand and speak if you want to. I mean, if you don't want to do it, don't do it. However, you won't be recognized for your talents if you don't stand up and let people see you. And
also,
speaking is about sharing. Yeah.
It is about sharing. But do you know what? So what if you fail? You know, if you do, you just get up and you just, it's like getting back, you fall off a horse, you get back on. You've just got to get up and just get yourself back on it.
Yeah. And it's really weird because we are actually designed as human beings to treat public speaking a bit like death. Literally, our brains go, oh, this is dangerous. You're there, they're looking at you. You could die. And I think when I've spoken to psychologists, they've actually said it's that sensation of if you were outside the tribe and all of the tribe are looking at you and you're outside the group, you could perish and starve. You could die. So our brains think, all the eyes are looking at me, I'm outside the tribe. It's a fate worse than death. And it's like our bodies react to it the same as death. The same as fear of death. It's really weird.
Yeah, you just stand there and sweat. My hands sweat and I feel sick. But I have to say, I don't remember that feeling. So I haven't had it for a long time. Listen, I just start this week. I haven't been back at Talk Radio Europe. And I started on Monday. And obviously, you're a little bit nervous to get going. But once you're in and you get going, you're actually okay. And you know you can do it.
And it's a great show, Jill.
Oh, I love you, Esther. You're the best. A quick question, because we've only got a few more minutes. What is the trick with candles and roses?
Oh, okay. So this is a super quick way to get your heart rate down. When your heart rate goes up, that's when your brain goes blank, and that's when you sweat, and that's when you come out in a rash. So when you just know physically, all you've got to do is get your heart rate down. All you've got to do, quite simply, is breathe. And a really good little exercise you can do four times, you repeat it four times, is you blow out the candle, ready? You're blowing out the candle for me, Jill. Right? And then you smell, and then you smell the roses, nice and slowly, ready?
Ah, I'm with you, so...
Smell the roses. So smelling the roses, and as a drama person, Jill, you'll know that when you're
filling
acting,
your diaphragm.
You're on stage, you need to expand your diaphragm.
Mm-hmm. I do that quite frequently.
Smell, because if you smell rather than gulp that air in, it means that you're slowly letting the oxygen in, and then when you're blowing out the candle and making your mouth small, you're slowly letting the oxygen out. And the deeper and slower you can do blowing out the candle and smelling the roses, the more your heart rate will go down.
Well, you're right, because we do forget to breathe. I think when we're feeling stressed, like if we're in a job interview, we forget just to take it easy and breathe.
Yeah, and actually blowing out first is a really good tip. So if you ever, in the heat of the moment, if you are really nervous and you think, oh my Lord, I am going to die, this is awful, my rash is coming out and I'm sweating, this is so awful, I really hate this. At that moment, the first thing you need to do is blow out.
And breathe.
Blow out.
That is such
blowing
a good idea.
First, it gets rid of cortisol, which is a stress hormone. Mm. So blowing out first rather than breathing in... it will really, really, really help you. And that's an instant nerve or anxiety basher. And it absolutely works.
Well, this
it
new...
takes under a minute.
It's this new self-help book, Goodbye Glossophobia. Love the name. It's about...
Goodbye Glossophobia, Banish Your Fear of Public Speaking.
Brilliant. Love it. By Esther Stanhope. Available on Amazon. You can also get the link on our website, which is TRE.radio, obviously Talk Radio Europe. And Esther... I love you, and I thank you so much for coming on the show. You're the best.
I'll see you soon.
See you soon.